If you remember, a few weeks ago, I spoke to you about Jesus and his apostles at a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's up in the north of Israel and not far from the Lebanon border. How Peter responded to Jesus' question of who they say that he is. So much happened to these apostles in just a few weeks as three of them witnessed the wonderful transfiguration of Jesus in his holy glowing along with Moses and Elijah. And then they headed off to Jerusalem and experienced Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, and the arrest and execution of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their heads must have been absolutely spinning, especially when Jesus rose from the dead and visited them that same day in the upper room. And then 40 days later, they witnessed him ascend to the Father from the Mount of Olives, right across the Kidron Valley from the city of Jerusalem. As if that were not enough, just a week after that, 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit came to them as a rushing wind, washing over them on the day of Pentecost, and changed everything. They were new people. They were emboldened and filled with the confidence that what they were preaching about Jesus was not only true, but transforming lives of those who heard the truth and believed. That transforming power has touched each one of us as well. So let me rewind just a bit to today's Holy Gospel, the reading from Matthew. Jesus is still alive, and he shares a parable about two sons who answer their father's request to go work in the vineyard. Each one answers differently, and then go and do the exact opposite of their response. Can you imagine someone saying that they're going to do something and go and do the exact opposite? Have you ever witnessed that? I think sometimes some of us get to see some of that. Now, this is not only isolated to children. We're all shining examples of saying one thing and sometimes doing another. I would venture to say that there's not one of us here today who has not done this at one time or another in our life. Sure, I'll be there. And then, ta-da, empty seat. If you found out about the greatest new little shop in town, or a new restaurant with great food that does takeout, you don't necessarily have to go and sit in these days of COVID, and they've got wonderful prices, or you heard about a movie that interested you that you can rent online without having to go into the movie theater, wouldn't you share that with friends? I would say that the majority of people here today or watching this service online are thinking to themselves, well, of course, sure I'd do that. So I got to ask you, why is it so hard for people to tell others about the most incredible person in their life, Jesus of Nazareth, or about the church that they go to and how it has and continues to change your life? This is what I have difficulty understanding. I can't help but wonder why we cannot do the same when it comes to sharing our faith. And this is nothing new to us today. It was the same in Jesus' day. People haven't changed all that much. God presented his message of salvation to the Jewish leaders first through John the Baptist, and they rejected it. But the scorned sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes received that message with open arms and open hearts. The Jewish leaders' claim of serving God and being faithful to the Torah went along with them being the religious leadership for the people. But in fact, these leaders were not obedient to God. They totally rejected the message of John the Baptist, just as they rejected the message of Jesus of Nazareth. Enough to want to have him killed. Why is it that the scorned sinners, with no claim to righteousness whatsoever, believed both John the Baptist and the message from Jesus? That's why Jesus said that they were entering the kingdom of God. These people knew that they were the ones who were desperately in need of grace. I'm quite sure that they told their friends of the good news that they had received and how it affected their lives. For Jesus, doing the will of the Father is a matter of words and a matter of deeds, too. It's one thing to say one does or will do the will of the Father, but it's another to actually do it. Words alone mean absolutely nothing. My father used to have a term for that, lip service. That what comes out of your lips doesn't necessarily come through your hands. The Apostle James reminds us, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. When you say yes, then go and do it. Remember I told you last week that it's not about earning your way to heaven through works? The work has already been done once on the cross at Calvary by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should be so gratefully obedient that we want to do for him out of gratitude, to share him and his love with others, all for his glory and not for ours. And so I come back to that earlier question. How is it then that we can share our favorite things and places with people and stories, but we can't get up and share Jesus with others? I know today I'm preaching to the choir, to some people that are present here that do that in their lives every day. And I believe that God is more impressed by our performance than our promises. There's that lip service again. To put it more plainly, God's not interested by our saying one thing and doing another, or our waiting until we get around to it. I'm sure you know of somebody, maybe even yourself, who when pressed to a difficult situation, promises God everything they have if he will just get them to a better place and do the thing that they need the most, heal that friend of theirs, that relative of theirs. And when he delivers them from their distress, they soon forget about the promise that they made. They forget their vow, and they get right back to business as usual. Good intentions. You know what they say? The road to Hades is paved with good intentions. New Year's resolutions. Promises, I'm going to lose this many. I'm going to get on the treadmill and work. And then, yeah, right. People volunteering to serve on committees and then forgetting about them altogether. Promises to read your Bible every day and not opening it even once. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not pointing fingers, because you know what they say about pointing fingers. When you point fingers, I want to make sure I'm not pointing at anybody, I'll point at the wall. When you point a finger at somebody, there's three more pointing right back at you. Okay? We don't want that. Not at all. Jesus wants us to make good on our intentions, on our promises, on our commitments. And we have to look and take a good look at our commitments and see and examine who we really are. We need to be fruitful. And so we must have a faith that acts and brings forth fruit, because just as James said in his epistle, faith without works is dead. James 2:26. We're called to be Jesus' disciples, to act now through being obedient. The time to obey is right now. Now let me put it to you this way. If you were to delay stopping at a stop sign, a whole bunch of things could happen. Well, first of all, you might get a ticket. Second of all, you could get in an accident. Or you could have a close call and wind up just barely escaping an accident. Point is that we're fruitful when we are obedient, not procrastinating and are disobeying the Lord. Please, be as good as your promises and your commitments. When we obey, we bear much fruit. When we're not obeying, we come across as someone blinded and end up leading others who are also blind astray. The religious leaders of Israel did not act on God's word through John the Baptist and Jesus. And so the repentant sinners would be able to enter the kingdom of heaven ahead of them or instead of them. The difference between the religious leaders and the repentant sinners is just one thing. The O word, obedience. Jesus once said this, as recorded in Matthew 12:30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." We agree to obey and work in God's vineyard, his kingdom here on earth. When we do that, we are working and gathering with Jesus Christ and for him. I want to close today with the words of Jesus Christ as recorded in Matthew 5:37. He simply said this, "Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.